MD, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, hi, I'm MD Friedman. I live in Lafayette, Colorado. And I used to live in Loveland for years and years and years. And a lot of old friends up here, and especially with the station. And I want to thank KRFC for being here and supporting local poetry. That's an amazing, amazing thing to have at a radio station. I write poetry and do music, do visual arts and some video. So I have a pretty creative lifestyle now. And several years ago, I started a poetry press called Liquid Light Press, with the mission of bringing out to press poetry that speaks to the heart. And it's been a wonderful experience. I'm very lucky tonight to be surrounded by a couple of the poets that are part of the press. So it just seemed like a really great evening, Soltis, where the light's coming back to do a reading featuring Liquid Light poets. So as far as why I write poetry or why I keep writing poetry, it's just part of who I am. It really isn't a matter of choice. It's just part of who I am. I would not be me if I wasn't, if I didn't see the world that way and experience the world as a poet and turn some of it to words. That's just who I am.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. And Erica, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Erica Moss Gordon, and I'm actually on the other side of the state in Western Colorado in Ridgeway. Deep in the San Juan Mountains, where I live with my two lovely children. And I also teach yoga and work for a film festival, the Telluride Film Festival. And poetry has just been something that, I'm going to answer the last question in this introduction part, but it's just something that comes through. And I think that I hear so much what these two, and agree with what they've said, as far as it being something that just has to happen. It's how I process my life. It's how I process my life in the mountains, things that I experience that are traumatic or beautiful or transformative or love or intimate, all of that. It's how I think integrate my experiences of my life into myself. And It really isn't a choice. It's just something that I've been doing forever, and I think I will continue to do forever.
Wonderful. Thank you. Let's start the night off with a poem. Rachel, would you like to start us
off?
Sure.
This is an older one from 2007, and I must have written it in the winter. With it being solstice, I think a lot of us, or all three of us, chose some light poems or some winter poems to share tonight, and so this is one of those. And one thing I think about a lot is not only the light in the world around us that comes from our beautiful sun, but just the inner light that we have, you know, and you can look at it from a scientific quantum point of view or from a more spiritual point of view or however you like, but this is one of those poems exploring that. 3 degrees below freezing, if there is light enough to see. It is cold. People are careful, wear more clothes than are comfortable. We wrap arms around ourselves and lean into the warmest places we find. And in these places still find cold around edges, seeping through seams, or deep in the core of things we thought would always burn. We lean for a long time and wait for heat to build on heat. It usually does. We want to think we are earths crusted around molten cores of roiling light, but that light is dark inside. And though we say it is, it isn't light, it's heat we seek in times like these. We trust the deep fire of the body, of each other's bodies, to deliver and hope the heat is light. in heat lives the body. In the body, light the eye can't see until we break open and what's inside seeps, slow, amber, glowing. Here, I have broken. Come warm your hands. Read by me.
Oh, lovely.
Wow.
Mm. Lovely. Thank you. Nice way to start off the evening. MD, would you like to share something?
Yeah, I have one here that's also a winter poem. I miss you. It is the month of ravens, the time of liquid light. It has been a long year within the golden eye of the imagination. There is much to see, yet nothing endures, and I cannot bear to be without you for another day. My feet freeze in place. There is no getting away from what may break. Even my shadow is brittle, cracks like ice beneath the vacuous sun. In the great spruce behind our home, three ravens squeak out twisted nails from the frigid bark with their caw, change positions as they ladder up, branch by branch, but the small one, a female, I think, is first to the top. Yesterday, after the snow came, the solar disk whimpered behind a wispy smudge of cloud, shimmered dreamy in moonlight, like an alone eagle shuttled its way across the steel wool sky in search of warmth. It is a month of luminous mist, of the burning bite of hoarfrost, when the cold takes possession of its own and the charred raven brings its glowing gift of fire to those whose words freeze in the mouth. As slanted rays of shrouded light fall into ash, I'm left to ask, what brings you to me in the dark? Will the knit of need and knot of time hold only when legs are woven tight? My fabric frays without you, here in the chilling scarch of the crystalline dawn. Out of the gray and glittered grit of the frozen thaw, I climb the murky tree of mind, limb by limb, into the stark sky of heart. Each day away from you, I ache within the fragile hollow of my bones. Like the morning star, I bleed into the fading night.
Mm. And just before, you were saying that that's, is this where the liquid light?
The name for the press actually came from the line in the poem, the time. This is the time for liquid light.
Mm. Wonderful. And Erica, would you like to share something?
Yes, this poem is about how we have to go into the dark to find our own source. It's called Return. It is inevitable. You must return to stillness. As the nights grow longer and the veil thins between this world and the next, let your body be the instrument that guides you back to the sweet dusk of your own quiet emptiness. Linger here fearlessly, with your holy breath and your tranquility, for sorrow is the exfoliation of the soul, and compassion the candle that will light you through the darkness.
And this is a good time for us to take a quick break and hear a message from the station, but do stay tuned. We'll have more from MD Friedman, Rachel Kellum, and Erica Moss-Gordon. More from their poetry coming up right after this. And when you're not listening to Easy Writers, you can listen to the Poetry Show here the first, third, and fifth Sundays of each month, airing live from 6 to 7 p.m. with local poets reading their work on the air. And tonight we have MD Friedman, Rachel Kellum, and Erica Moss-Gordon here from the Liquid Light Press. So all these poets have books with the Liquid Light Press, and that's local in our northern Colorado area, and are here to read their work, including from their recent chapbooks. Rachel, do you want to read us another poem?
Sure. I should mention here, this is another winter poem. last winter, my daughter moved to Seattle, Washington, and this was the first time that I had really been away from her for that long. And the grief I was feeling at that time was very interesting, and it reminded me of the Demeter and Persephone story, and it was a very, suddenly became a very personal myth that I was living, and so this is one that came from that. And we will bloom for sage. I adore you, seed eater, spoke Demeter from afar to her daughter, who, laughing, ate the whole pomegranate, splatter-handed in Seattle, her new home of fog and rain and flame. Forget seasons, she won't return. Hades is no man or underworld, but this one, where roads steal and homes burn. Persephone will enter with her red-seated heart, her jaws of life, her mask, her heavy water, every breath Demeter ever gave her, and rescue someone else's son or daughter from a new kind of hell. And I guess one thing I forgot to mention about that is my daughter moved there to become a firefighter.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And so very different from the Persephone sort of being stolen away, but actually going on and being her own hero in the world,
yes.
Being my hero, too.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So,
keeping us in the winter theme, MD, are you going to continue the winter theme?
I am. I'm going to continue the winter theme. But I'm also, the solstice theme to be precise, and I'm also going to read a poem out of my chapbook, Leading Toward Whole, from Liquid Light Press. Light returns. The beasts of light returned to my window. One by one they swirled down from the hunched night, falling out of the stars like solstice spangle. They locked their wiry feet on thin winter branches as black as the land of their birth. No, I am not dying. These are not angels. Like a great lazy Susan, this world and the other have not changed places. These are wild creatures, a burning flock of fluttering hundreds. The birds of light gather and settle. Each understands its place in the night and how to hold on. Without a cue, all at once, they burst open. With a single luminous chorus of color, they throw their bright song to the clouds, flood the shadowed false dawn with throbbing cadmium and crimson. It is as if my heart, too, explodes, no longer able to contain my blood, suddenly transfigured into pulsing scarlet light. No, I'm not dead. The hum of my breath still drones within me. The feet of the ghostly ravens root in the dark bark, curl deeply into viscous sap, draw life from the dormant wood. Sipping of chill shade, they will flare yet more splendid. No, I'm not crazy. I've seen this before. I love the long quiet of this moment before they erupt again and melt with a final burst of iridescent grandeur into a brilliant feathered sky.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, MD. Erica, would you like to read? Continue the winter theme here, a solstice theme.
I will, and these are also from my Liquid Light Press chapbook called Of Eyes and Iris, and I'm going to read three short winter poems. The first one is called Driving Blizzard. My wish is for 18 more of you in the world, says the five-year-old to his big sister, and we sit back into the sum total of what we know. 9 degrees Fahrenheit. On the coldest day, why reach your hand toward anything but love? three generations. Unseasonably warm, but the sidewalk still icy, so we hold each other up as the snow melts and refreezes and melts.
So, what is it about winter or solstice that has inspired all of you in your work?
I think that there's such a sweetness about and necessity about us turning inward, and this time of year makes that happen. We have to be with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And what a gift, because we have to, in that darkness is where we get to be with all the churning or the peace or whatever it is that's there, but we have to be with it. And that's where we get to see the part of ourselves that is the light.
I have to say that winter strips away everything that's not important. And it gives you an opportunity then to see things in a new clarity. And I think that's what winter, the beautiful part of winter is the clarity of it. And you can see it in the how blue the sky is in the winter out here in Colorado, and how bright the stars are out here in the winter.
Wow, that's a really tough question for me to answer. Yeah. But I think I could say, I mean, ditto on especially what Erica said about the light. And for me as well, I think I one of the first times I really fell in love with winter was in a college classroom listening to a professor read Wallace Stevens' The Snowman. And she really helped me with that poem understand the way snow has this way of erasing the world in a way, and that it really requires this this desire to just be right there and surrender to the cold and to witness it and really be there with it. And I think sometimes we don't like to be uncomfortable, we don't like to be cold, and I think that poem was one of the first times I realized that, wow, I could experience the winter in a much more awake way than I had before. And I think that attitude is something that I have carried with me since then, and it's something I think that threads through my poetry too.
Lovely. Would you like to read another poem for us?
Sure. This one actually might be moving a bit away from the theme of solstice. If that's okay.
Yeah.
So I did mention waking up. And so this is from my book, Ah, from Liquid Light Press. And it's called Waking Into Sleep. Take Your Waking Slow. And I must mention that thanks to Rothke and Emerson and Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche, my teacher, for some of the inspiration in this one. You wake up a sphere of clear crystal, and the bed is in you. The blinds shoot curved through your belly, and light glints where there are no eyes. You roll out of bed, and surprising legs lift you. Hands touch your belly, shoulders open, tangled hair catches still air, and the invisible eyeball itches, now too. You scratch their edges, rub with clumsy fists, blink, shuffle to the toilet, the mirror, and the flesh's uncertain and certain longings begin knotting the endless net of thoughts by which you organize your day into that which you want and don't want to fall through you. This is the morning's way.
And MD?
You know, I want to take that all back. The whole winter thing. Uh-huh. Winter sucks. I don't like winter at all. Never too old to slam. I'm not too old to slam because I need now more than ever to spill this truth. The older I am, the more alive I feel. I'm a tattered paradox of passion, a dying ember eager to explode into flame. The anger that has raged inside me for so long now holds up a giant final F-U finger to the flaccid face of fate, raises up its hissing head and spits its cobra venom into the great sucking eye of death. It's time for me to slam it down. I'm finally old enough to say what I mean and not give a crap what people think. Look into the mirror of my words. If you think I'm less than I am because I look older than I feel, I'm talking to you. There is nothing left but the truth. I tell you this because I'm done with blame. Look at me. If you see yourself, it's because we are the same. I may finish before you start, but we all run the same race. For how long or at what pace doesn't really matter. It's the human race, and we have no choice but to run, and run we do, and no one running with their heart open ever loses, and no one reaching for more leaves empty-handed, and not a single stride goes to waste. It's time to get down to it. Our forever is now, and forever changing into then. Nothing you can say makes it easier to die. The truth is simple. We're lost without love. As long as I'm alive, I will never forgive the greed that rots our world, that nips our hills and turns our Eden to wasteland. Nor will ever I abide the hate that rips apart our souls if we don't take a stand. We are a bursting supernova of love, silhouetted by the lightning of our desire. When we smile, we shine more brightly than a billion stars. When we grieve, it's a hurricane of pain, a deluge of hurt without end. My brothers and sisters are of all ages. Together, we are more colorful than the fish that glide among the coral, more tenacious than wild thistle. Together, we wield the power of the human heart. There is nothing more potent, nothing we cannot overcome. I am not too old or too white to slam, because I'm half African, half Asian, half Jew, half Arab, half indigenous, half developed, half wild, half dead, half human, half animal, half budding green, half dark night. I'm the dawning, half bright, half light. My life is more than half over, but my half-life is infinite, and I have half a mind to leave this half-ass country if there was somewhere else I could find that was halfway decent. No, I'm not too old, too white, or even too straight to slam, because I'm half man, half woman, half gay, half lesbian, half trans, half willing, half witted, and half cocked. I'm always halfway between myself and somebody else, and always some wind between now and again. I'm on my way to being me. Being alive is all about connection. Nothing else matters. There's nothing evil, nothing wrong, nothing about you, nothing inside of me, nothing human I cannot love. My brothers and sisters are misters and misses, and men who love men, and women who love women, and men who are born women, and women who are born men and women who are both or neither a man or a woman. It makes no difference. How much I love you has nothing to do with your color, your gender, your dress, who you love, or how old you aren't, but with who you are. It's all about the joy of you becoming you. I know I'm not too old to slam because I can still see the beauty inside everyone. I know no matter what we think we want or how hard we try to be someone else, we can only ever be who we really are. I'm not too old to slam because I'm not too old to love. I sit on the ragged edge of death's bed. I blink and gulp the light like a goldfish gulps for air, and decide each morning to get up and live, to love and become, and choose not to sleep beyond the darkness. If my heart is still beating, I open it. The longer I live, the more I have a need to give. The more I give, the more I have to live for. I'll never be too old to care. Never too old to slam.
And this is KRFC 88.9 FM in Fort Collins, and you're listening to The Poetry Show. And we've just heard MD Friedman read I'm Not Too Old to Slam. Is that the title, or did
never,
I mess it up?
Yeah, okay. Never Too Old to Slam.
Never Too Old to Slam. And that brings me to a question about genre. I'm curious if Rachel or Erica, if you've ever written slam poems as well, and MD, if you've written outside of the slam and genre into other genres. It sounds like you experiment a lot with music and poetry and
song, yeah, music,
and poetry. The digital medium as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done digital poems, which are, I think, are a whole different genre and form. I've done 2D poems, which are poems that are written in columns, and one person reads down the column, the other person reads across the rows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of experimental stuff. I like to do songwriting, which is a whole different form of poetry, and I like to do spoken word over sort of improvisational electronic or jazz music as well, which is a little bit different genre.
Have Rachel or Erica, have you ever experimented with slam or different types of poetry?
I think the last time I tried to write a slam poem and that I actually performed it was here in this fine city.
Oh, great.
When I was a graduate student. And I remember hearing from someone in the MFA program, like through the grapevine, that someone was like, well, she's all right, but she's a feminist.
Uh-oh.
And so I figured, and then I wrote a really angry poem in response to that. But but I don't think I ever slammed that one publicly. But No, I don't typically write slam. I feel maybe, I was going to say maybe I'm too old for it, but I think I'm just a little more mellow now. And I'm more interested in I like writing poems for the page. I like performing them too, but I wouldn't call myself a slam poet by any means now.
I have not written slam, but after listening to MD, I think I'm going to go home tonight and attempt it. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Erica, would you like to read us something?
Sure. And this poem, I think, is about these two that I'm sitting next to right now. It's about all of us, but right now I'm feeling it like it's about them. It's called The Point. We are all smaller than a tiny dot in a great novel, but that does not mean we still shouldn't do everything we can to make this story more beautiful, which clearly they are both doing daily. I'm going to take us back to our winter theme a little bit and read 5 winter haiku. Startling how much light morning snow balances on one tiny tree twig. Tracks of deer on the front porch. So much happens when we are not watching. If only we could make our egos into snowballs to throw at ourselves. Leave all of your shoulds and supposed to's, and settle into noticing. Let us love like your fireplace, not mine. Screw propane. Let's burn some real wood.
Yeah, I read that on your blog. You
I did too. I read that today. It's great to hear it in your voice.
And the haiku is a form that you've worked with.
I do. I love writing haiku. I love the, I love starting with a page of words, literally, and boiling the entire thing down into 3 lines. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it's, if I could get my brain to work like that, I think it would be a good thing.
Yeah. And Rachel, would you like to continue?
Sure. I think I'll stick with the winter theme. I've got 2 shorties here that I'll share. I just noticed they seem a little bit connected. The first one is called Photosynthesis. However scintillant, one grows tired of suffering. Trees grow tired of the fuss of leaves. Even in the dead of winter, we cling to final rattles. Stark, just drop what no longer gathers light. Light already gathers us. And another one here. This is from 2008, when my boy, who is now 15, was About 7. Because my son announces Narnia trees on his 7th winter solstice. Driving across Nebraska, we are witnessed by a stand, no, 100-mile strand of wizened iced trees. From every tip, ominously fragile, seg shining, branched veins of glassed light. I start to slough my skin, drop muscles, organs, bones like leaves, reveal my nerves and veins, stand up solid in the sun, reaching, sagging, a branched thing, silent and clear.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Thank you.
And do you find yourself, since we talked about a couple of different forms, the slam and the haiku, do you find yourself writing in a particular kind of form or drawn to?
I would say I mostly write in free verse, mm-hmm. But I'm very interested in sound in my poetry. So even though I wouldn't say I try to follow form too often, I do write haiku, and I'll play around with sonnet or the triolet or different things from time to time. I think I usually stay with a free verse form and just do my best to. Actually, I wouldn't say I do my best to, but the sounds just end up sort of playing with one another, and I love assonance and alliteration, slant rhyme, so, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, I think Robert Frost said, a poem is like a piece of ice on a hot stove that rides its own melting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And that's ultimately the form I'd like to have. A poem to have is the one that melts in. I have one here I'd like to read that, I don't know, this talk about winter, but it hasn't felt a lot like winter. And all this warm weather, relatively warm weather, it's got me looking over my shoulder a lot, and this just doesn't feel right for some reasons. And I guess that's where this poem comes from. The goddess eats at Arby's. Hers is a difficult beauty from a world where the night is blistered gold and dark trees bristle with blue, hair-like leaves. Feathery fish swim the summer wind while eyeless serpents burl with flat black beaks through silvery whiffs of sand. What she ate is still a mystery. Perhaps salad. Perhaps she lives on air. What matters, though, is all of a sudden, there she was, as amber and shimmering as the falling light of a dying candle. I see her pulsing on the curtain of my eyelids. She was chewing something, grudgingly inhaling the early smoke of the rush hour, exhaling our choking world like a sputtering tailpipe. Translucent, dreamlike, iridescent, this creature of sparkle and moon milk sat 3 tables away, as real as the flickering fluorescent lights, chomping down her lunch. Disregarding all signage, she wore no shoes or skin for that matter. What clothes she had licked her like flame, leaving a trail of diamond dust. She slid resplendent into the yellow plastic booth where I sat, as if to chat. Yet the goddess did not speak. Nor did I, although I could hear the echo of pain in her soul, sad as a black hole, veins surging, blue starlight, bleeding as calmly as a fading red giant. Her lungs wheezed laboriously with each expansion and contraction of the universe. I wanted desperately to help her, to somehow make things right. But drunk with greed, we frenzy feed upon the glowing bowl of her heart, lapping up her luminous essence like a pack of gluttonous dogs. There is no end to what we take, while her breath whispers through all that lives, she is dying.
And Erica, would you like to share something?
Yeah, that's it. My next poem is called On Death. So that's a good lead-in. There's been a lot of It's interesting. I feel like as the darkness sort of grows, I feel like there has been a lot of transition around me, and I'm sure that's all the time, but I've just been noticing it on death. Along the spectrum of letting go, we hold each other up. Not so unexpected as unfathomable, these passages and passings, as breath gives way to empty space that beckons us to find new ways of being utterly alive.
Yeah, I think there's something interesting going on with the winter and the solstice and the shortening of days and then kind of darker endings that are coming through in the poems here too. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Rachel, would you like to?
Sure. I am going to jump back to 2013 with the flood. I think that flood touched all of us in September, and it made it all the way out to us on the Eastern Plains. And I live about, 10 miles north of the river. And this is about that time. The flood. We doubted the water would come and slept without clothes, the privilege of the blithe and warm. Valuables left down low, we slept. Sure, 4 miles of rising plains would swallow the river, its tousled snakes and mountain limbs, long before it swallowed ours. You folded into night, and me, scant light, our fragile boat. Uneasy waking, 3 a.m., highway and house without a hum. No semis, no power, no water pump. Proud child of apocalypse, I had filled the jugs despite your gentle jibe. Oh, baby, we won't lose electricity. Curiosity dressed and drove us to the bridge they wouldn't let us see. Fat men and flashing sent us home. We never saw it rise, love, but of course it rose, a mile wide. Next morning, yesterday's unconcerned cattle grazed on higher ground. I only dreamed it dark and slow, inching up the edges of my low-banked mind, the cool swell eating my silent roads and fishbone shores, forcing us north of the river, of towns, for 3 days. Bridgeless, blessed, drinking from the hard well, love wrung out our water while others fell and homes molded 100 miles west. I'm not sorry they were blissful days. Is that horrible to say?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I really love how the land becomes your own landscape, how it becomes part of where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now would be a good time, I think, if the listeners like what they've heard so far and they'd like to get a hold of your work, if you would share how they can do so, or if you've got readings coming up. Maybe we'll start with Rachel.
I have a website it's more of a blog, really, that I post almost every new poem that I write, at least temporarily, and it's called wordweeds.com, and I usually have any updates about when I'll be performing, and also you can link to purchasing my book, Ah, and that link would take you to MD's website, or the Liquid Light Press website, so that you can buy the book there. And that's about it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Andy?
Yeah, the Liquid Light website has all the print books, but it also has the ebook formats and all popular ebook formats. And so that's just liquidlightpress.com. My personal projects, you can keep up with me at mdfriedman.com, all lowercase, one word. We're also on Facebook, so you can friend us and find out stuff, instantly that way. And those are all good sites.
Great. Erica?
I'm actually not on Facebook. I tried.
I'm not
but
either.
But I deactivated.
That's right. I looked for both of you.
I can be found. I have a blog also. It's Erica with a K, Moss, M-O-S-S, Gordon. And also I have a link to MD's and Liquid Light Press's site for purchasing the book, which is called Of Eyes and Iris.
Great. And any readings coming up that anybody would like to announce? The creative writing reading series at CSU will be back next spring, and I'll be announcing those readings on the show, as well as readings from the CU MFA program and some others. But usually around this time of year, it gets kind of quiet around the readings.
Should we talk about the books?
Yes.
I brought three books from Liquid Light Press. They just happen to be ours.
Beautiful books.
Imagine.
that we're donating to the studio so that a listener member can email. And if you're the first email, send the first email, then you can come by the station and pick them up.
Yeah. And you can email me, and that would be Susie Martinez at SusieQTepper@gmail.com. And so that's SusieQTepper@gmail.com. And you can email. And the first to email will be the recipient of these three beautiful books from Liquid Light Press.
Three different books. They are, you hold them right there. So
yes, they're beautiful. Just really briefly, I wonder if you would like to talk about the covers, because they are beautiful books.
The one thing that sets Liquid Light Press apart from a lot of presses, poetry presses, is that we are collaborative. Mm. We look at a book project as a collaborative project with the poet. So when you're looking at the titles, it all really depends. I mean, Rachel's artwork.
Mm. Rachel, this is your own artwork here.
It is. Yeah, there's a sky painting that I did. It's actually zoomed in on that sky painting. And then the Tibetan calligraphy there is the Tibetan letter A, or A. Mm. And it represents space in the Buddhist iconography. And since the book is focused on poems that I wrote sort of in response and in engagement with my own meditation practice, I thought it was appropriate to use imagery symbolic of that practice.
Beautiful. Thank you. Erica?
Mine is it's a painting by a dear friend of mine, Kelly Day. It's actually mixed media, but she's a Ridgeway artist, and we are in perpetual inspiration of one another, and so she was sweet and generous enough to create this, which is a sort of iris unfolding, opening, sensual, feminine flower action.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you.
And MD?
Mine actually has a piece of my digital art on it called Mother's Whispers, which was a piece I wrote in response after my mom died. And there's also a poem for her in here as well. The book is dedicated in her memory as well. So that's why I chose that particular piece of art.
Mm. Would you like to read that poem?
Sure. Bedside Manner, upon the passing of my mother. The dying have no sense of when. Everything was, each breath a terrible wind. The light of those they love gathers like a tempestuous mob, shaking smoking torches outside the window. Blazes like a hidden sun, flooding the river of glass with the searing certainty of inevitable dawn. The dying always walk the other way, forgetting all paths lead back like breathing. The way in is the way out. I was there when she tumbled like a flaming magnolia down the long well of her mind. I felt the exquisite weightlessness, then her fear. What happens at the bottom? She clenched my hand in hers and mine in hers, although she was ashen as a tear of dust, hollow as the peeled skin of snake. I asked her if she remembered the time in temple when just her just fallen father's thick veined hand squeezed hers, squeezing mine. He came to tell you it's all right. She remembers to let go, falls forever. Nothing is more beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's a lovely way to honor your mother.
Thank you.
We'll be right back just after this last message from the station, and we'll be back to finish up with poets from the Liquid Light Press reading here in the studio tonight. Stay tuned. Did you know that Colorado's Front Range is packed with poetry? Poetry that inspires your creative side, shows you a new way to see the world, and reflects your community. And it's at your fingertips every other Sunday on The Poetry Show, right here on 88.9 FM KRFC, your community radio station. You can also listen online at www.krfcfm.org. The Poetry Show features local Colorado poets reading their work live on the air and talking with me, Susie Martinez, about poetry and literature. Join me this fall and winter at 6 p.m. on the first, third, and fifth Sundays of each month for an exciting lineup of local poets, including Steve Katz, Michelle Batiste, Matthew Cooperman, Abby Cowpang, Robert Baldwin, Summer Browning, B.K. Lauren, Veronica Patterson, Wayne Gilbert, Bob Cooperman, and Heather Goodrich. Live local, listen local, with The Poetry Show on KRFC.
You're listening to KRFC Fort Collins.
That's Oscar Peterson playing 7 Come 11, a reminder that you can now join me, Gene Abkarian, from 7 until 11, Sunday evenings on Mountain Standards Time. Jazz with Gene, Sundays on KRFC Fort Collins. See you then.
Support for KRFC is provided by our listener members and in part through a grant from the Bohemian Foundation, a proud sponsor of live local music in Fort Collins, as well as music enrichment opportunities in K-12 schools. Information is at bohemianfoundation.org.
And you're listening to KRFC 88.9 FM in Fort Collins, and you're listening to The Poetry Show. And we're back with the poets from Liquid Light Press, Rachel Kellum, Erica Moss-Gordon, and M.D. Friedman, who've just been reading about winter and the solstice and things coming to an end and lots of other things. And we have time for a few more poems. Erica, would you like to start?
Sure. I'm going to take us back into the light now, since we all get to go that direction. This poem is called Beckoning. Each inhalation, an invitation. Each exhale, a letting go. In the absence of sight, the darkness beckons. Like the white lotus, open to the possibility of your own sweet light.
All right. I think I'm going to go to the beginning here, as in the Big Bang. The beginning of light, our light in the universe, or at least in our solar system, and in the light at the beginning of my own life, microcosmic, macrocosmic. In the beginning. If, for whatever reason, when I grew from colliding invisible cells, one a drifting still cocoon, one a swimming moon with tail, both composed of hugging, trembling molecules and, smaller still, atoms, charged planets chasing each other in vast microscopic space around endless little suns just more empty space glowing inside with quarks, self-existing lights in space reaching for other lights, colliding, dividing, multiplying, always beginning and dying. Then I am satisfied it all begins like this, for whatever reason, though I like to think it is love.
Well, I'll close tonight with the last poem of my my book, Leaning Toward Whole, and kind of keeps with the theme here. Never night. Only the sun, unacquainted with darkness, burns in my core. Slice after slice, flames off the bright globe of breath. Inside the infinite instant, my heart spins on the head of a pin. Words shed from the swelling calm, I fall into more than can be said.
It's a lovely way to close. Just at the end here, I thought I would ask each of you to say a couple of words or give a tip to beginning writers or people picking up poetry or picking up poetry again after a long while of putting it down. What would you suggest that beginning poets, or maybe not beginning poets?
I would say always have a small book with you wherever you go, a pocket notebook and a pen, because when those words come, you've got to get them down right away, because even if you don't do anything with them right at that moment, you can do something with them later.
I would advise people that are just starting writing or maybe getting back into writing that, yes, writing is therapy, but sharing is healing. So get the stuff out there, take it out to open readings and get with people and get to be part of community, and I think that's the way to make it work is to get out there and share it and close that circle of communication.
And I would say let go of the feeling that maybe you forgot something that you once knew how to do, and just trust yourself. Without any, you can start any minute of any day, and you can stop, and that doesn't mean that you're still not a poet or an artist or a musician, and it's always inside of you, and it's always inside all of us. None of us know what we're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good place to end. Thank you so much, Erica, Rachel, and MD, for coming on the show and reading your books from Liquid Light Press.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.